stuttered through the sky. He saw the riders coming hard, and he heard their mournful cry.
Vision number 8, as we are here in Zechariah Perek Vav. For those of you keeping track of how many visions we've had, this is the final vision of Zechariah, at least in this sequence. There's going to be, as Rabbi Chaim Angel calls it, more conventional prophecies coming in the second half of the Perek and then on. Rabbi Mendel Hirsch has a very interesting introduction to the vision of the four chariots, with the four different kinds of horses and the ghost riders in the sky who are riding them. He says, the visions of the previous chapters told how, after the building of the Beis HaMikdash, blessing would be coming to everyone that is consonant with its spirit and its service, with ruin coming to those who persist in opposition to that spirit. But these prakim also warned that where material value holds sway and is the essence of their lives, in Eretz Shinar, that may eventually become their permanent home, because you get so caught up in the comfortable life in Golos that sooner or later, perhaps of your own volition, you give up on going back to Eretz Yisrael. I think we are getting a little bit of a warning shot about that. Every time I read the news, it's kind of horrifying. University of UCLA has a speaker for the Hillel who was one of the hostages. And there's protests from pro-Palestinian students saying, how dare he tell that story? Anti-Semitism everywhere we look. Politicians being elected. No offense to those of you who have strong political beliefs, but on the Democratic Party platform that nowadays includes hostility towards Israel and direct hostility to Jews, but also right-wing Republican types who are also anti-Semites. So we're getting a warning shot about what happens when you make Eretz Shinar your home. So Rav Hirsch continues, in the first half of this chapter, Zechariah is shown the four world empires presented in the guise of four chariots driven by four different types of horses, with the idea that a sus, as it's going to be said, sus, as a friend of mine used to lane all the time in Megillas Esther, a sus is always a war horse in biblical language. But here the war horses are not free and without being tied down, as in Perek Aleph, but they're harnessed to chariots, emerging between two copper mountains. So immediately, this frightening vision, as we heard in the song by Vaughn Monroe, is going to take Zechariah back, and he's going to say, what's going on here? And we'll see that in the second half. So, va'ashuva esa einai vo'ereh. I returned, I lifted my eyes, I saw. Vihine arba markavos yotzos. Behold, four chariots were coming forth mibein shnei haharim, from between two mountains. Vehaharim hare nechoshes, and the mountains were mountains of copper. Copper and mountains are hard and strong, says Rashi. And so these four chariots coming from between these two massive mountains of copper represents Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're messengers. They're coming between Shnei Aharim Shehu Kasha Ve'amitz, that they're hard and strong. And we know, certainly, the treatment of the Jewish people, Kasha Ve'amitz, is probably a fairly good representation of how it's been for us during Golus with these four Merkavos. Ba'merkava HaRishona Pasuk Be'i Susim Adumim. In the first chariot, which is interesting, in the first chariot, probably more with the first chariot, or connected, or hooked up to the first chariot, it's being drawn by red horses. The second chariot is being drawn by black horses. The third chariot is being drawn by white horses, which in a Disney movie means the princess is having a great time, being brought to the ball. And the fourth chariot is being pulled along by susim berudim, spotted horses, amutzim, ash-colored, ashy horses, which in African American culture, ashy is a comment about your skin tone and your skin quality. But in this case also, the idea of something being ashy, ash-colored, is going to be of great difficulty for the people who are going to be victims of that. So the first chariot, the red horses, represent, almost everybody says, Bavel. Sefer Daniel, Bavel, the Babylonian Empire, is gold. Gold has a kind of reddishness to it, but it's also the blood that was shed among the Jews by the Babylonians when they slaughtered the people of Yehuda, says the Yalkut on this. The second chariot drawn by black horses, that's either the Medes or the Persians. Haman blackens the faces of the Jewish people, says Mitsudos. So terrible things could have happened, but didn't. Some say that the different colors are the different colors of their official colors, like their team colors of their armies, red, and this one black. And the idea here is that the black isn't necessarily, as we would imagine, black and white, as Malcolm X said, where villains and evil is always black and white is always good. Not so here, because the Persians, the Medes, they allowed the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's not an ominous omen, necessarily. The third chariot, the white horses, according to Rashi, who says one is Persia and one is Media, then Media or Media is going to be the black horses and Persia is going to be the white ones. So I guess white also brings light into the world, so never mind what I said. White represents positivity. Those who say Persia and Media were together in the black horses, they're going to say Alexander the Great and the Greeks are the white horses because of a wisdom. And then the fourth chariot, others connect the Greeks to the fourth, and certainly the Romans. The spotted horses, the subjugation of the Jewish people under the Greeks, all the various decrees, and then the Roman Empire, which is the longest of all. And we're going to talk about that ash-colored horses and the length of that gullus, because it's speaking to us directly, as we're going to see in Pasuk Zayin when we get there.